brother. What's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing all right, Earl. How about yourself?
All right. It's might get to be 40 degrees today, so that's an improvement.
It is, unfortunately.
All right. I want to get to my guest, my good friend, Mr. Joe McNally, award-winning journalist. And Joel, are you still writing for the Shepherd Express?
Yes, I am indeed.
Yeah, well,
they can't get rid of me.
Well, you know, it is so good to have you back on the air, and we've got a lot to talk about. But I want to begin with a subject that's in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You know Dan Bice, right?
Very well, yeah.
Yeah. So let me ask you, Dan Bice wrote in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that Chris Abley, whom you are aware of as well,
very well,
spent $250,000 in a secretive group that boosted the new mayor, Cavalier Johnson, in the mayoral race. He spent $500,000 in the county executive race. Do you see anything wrong with that?
Well, I guess
I know it's legal.
But the reason I'm shocked is that most millionaires put that kind of money into races by right wing Republicans, and I think it's probably a good thing that there are actually millionaires around that will fund a black candidate and are not racist. Are not the whole right-wing cabal, which is trying to destroy democracy in America. So, I think that's a good thing. I would like to encourage more very wealthy people. I know that the right-wing, movement is really on the move to destroy all democracy and just let the richest people in the world run the country. So this, I think, is a very positive development.
You know, there are people who push against it in our community because they think that there's, the influence that a person has in, and it's not even just the fact that it's Chris Abley and investing his money. I know Chris Abley. But,
I know Chris very well, too. And he has always supported progressive causes. He's not a bad guy. You know what? Let me tell you something. Some people think that I am sort of anti wealthy people and anti business people because I'm a pretty progressive guy myself. That's the way I grew up. Do you know how I got out of Union City, Indiana? I grew up in Union City, Indiana, a small town in Indiana, which is an extremely right-wing state. In fact, it used to be the headquarters of the Ku Klux Klan. Many people don't know that. They associated the Klan with the South and with extreme right-wing politics in the South. But they were an organization which was headquartered in Indianapolis, Indiana. The way I got out of a small town raised by a single mother who raised four boys by herself was a...
Wait a minute, Joel. I thought that was...
You thought that didn't happen to,
that was only black people.
The only millionaire in our city of 3,000 gave me a full scholarship to go to college. Okay. I'm not anti-wealthy people,
right,
believe
right.
me. And that's how I got into everything that I ever achieved in my life. And education does. Education will do that. And supportive people of all, income brackets and just decent, good people in this world do that. And I'm glad that there are wealthy people ready to donate to protect democracy.
Believe me,
I'm never going to criticize that.
Well, it's just this whole thing about, money in politics. It's always been there, Joe, but all of these different groups that, you don't know anything about, I think things were better when we talk about for our nation before we had all these secretive groups, and it is good.
I understand why people criticize dark money, and that's why the Democratic Party is trying to get rid of these anonymous donations. Everyone should know what Chris Abele is funding if he's funding our politics. And everyone does know. It was just in the paper this morning.
Yeah, that's so, 10 days later.
So what's the big deal? Yeah, so what?
Well,
I mean that's the way those things get reported. But the truth of the matter is the fact that the Milwaukee Journal exists, just like the Shepherd Express exists in Milwaukee, is why you know those things.
That's correct.
And as a matter of fact, the right wing is trying to wipe that out too. They don't like newspapers that support progressive causes we get very confused. One of the things that has happened in politics and money is that now that so much of this money is secretive, so much of this money is not publicly reported. As you may remember, you used to have a governor there in Wisconsin named Scott Walker, who one of the scandals he was involved in was trying to fund his entire campaign and the campaign of the right-wing legislature, which is now controlling Wisconsin, with secretive money. In his last, it actually started the way he got involved in the real illegal part of it was that during the recall election, when the teachers' unions and the unions and
right.
every decent person in Wisconsin, as soon as he got in office in the 2010 elections, which, as you recall very well, was, of course, the midterm elections after Barack Obama was elected president. And the Tea Party right-wing backlash against electing a black president of the United States created a big movement. The Tea Party said we cannot elect African Americans to hold the presidency, for God's sake. White people run this country, especially wealthy white people, and so that's when Scott Walker got elected governor of Wisconsin. He was part of that movement, and as soon as he got in office, the first thing he did was to destroy public unions. So he accused school teachers all over Wisconsin of being corrupt and they were controlled by the teachers union. And, we're finding out now what the real movement against teachers is all about. They're trying to wipe out all education right now, as a matter of fact. They don't want to...
Public education, right.
Public education. They don't want schools teaching that there's racism in this country. They don't want teachers teaching about the civil rights movement. They don't want teachers teaching that there are gay people in this country. If you acknowledge what's going on in America, and if you try to teach about democracy or the way it develops and the way it gets rid of some of the worst, ugliest things that have plagued our country and its history, you know, they don't want that kind of teaching going on in the public schools. And Scott Walker actually told Republican donors to donate to his election and to donate to the elections of Republican legislatures through those secretive groups you're talking about, the dark money campaign funding groups. He says, don't send your money to us. Send it to these secretive organizations, and they can funnel it to us, and no one will know where that money's coming from. And so no one will know who's funding the politics of Wisconsin. This was not just a scandal. This was illegal. This was a way to avoid public reporting of who's funding our politicians. This was to avoid anyone noticing. Let's say there was a mining company in northern Wisconsin that wanted to destroy the environment and wanted to create a huge mine in northern Wisconsin, which would you know, dig out some minerals up there and destroy old Indian reservations.
Hey Joe, you hear the music. I got to get you to hold the thought a second. You got to go to a break. Joe McNally is on the line. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And my good friend and longtime, journalist for 50 years or more in the city of Milwaukee and 28 years or so at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, former radio colleague.
Actually, I was at the Milwaukee Journal.
Oh, the Milwaukee Journal.
I very famously got fired from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I was telling you a history story when we left.
I know, but I want to make sure people know. I almost forgot there was a Journal Sentinel, but also a good former colleague of mine at a different radio station. It's always good to have Joel on. But go ahead, Joel.
Yeah, you didn't know you were going to talk about this morning when you called me because you were talking about Chris
right.
Abele.
Yeah, right.
This huge contribution. And I'm just explaining, we ought to know Chris Abele gave that to Cavalier Johnson, and we do, because the free press exists, and as a matter of fact, these secretive groups, you know, Chris Abele isn't that big of a secret, to tell you the truth. Nobody knows, everybody knows he funds Democratic causes, and he funds progressive causes. In fact, he funded one right here in Charlottesville, Virginia, actually nearby Charlottesville, Virginia, to elect the first transgender legislator to the Virginia legislature. So he funds progressive causes all over this country. And I'm glad that there are progressive millionaires as well as all the right-wing millionaires who are funding the Republican Party. This dark money thing, yes, we need to know who's funding our politics. And in Wisconsin, it is now illegal to know that. And the reason it's illegal to know that is that when Scott Walker was elected with open money, he encouraged people to give to right-wing organizations that didn't have to report their political contributions. And he said, send your money in this recall election, when he was being recalled a year after he won office with the support of all the Tea Party racist backlashers who came out to elect right-wing governors after Barack Obama was elected president. He said, if you send your money to the Koch organization and some of their cover groups, you've all heard about the right-wing Koch organization, which runs right-wing causes all over the country, that money won't be reported. And if you do that in Wisconsin, you know, they can funnel it to right-wing legislators and my campaign, and no one will know who is funding the election, including a mining company that at that point wanted to tear up northern Wisconsin and destroy its environment. And in fact, Scott Walker, those campaigns weren't, those donations from that mining company were kept secret until, and here's the interesting part, there were actually, I believe it was three or five district attorneys in Wisconsin who sued Scott Walker and his campaign organization and these right-wing secret organizations because Scott Walker had encouraged everybody to give money to the right-wing organization so no one would know who was funding this right-wing operation that could elect all of them. And in fact, re-elect Scott Walker in the recall election. And in fact, they did. You know, as you know, Scott Walker won the recall and had another election a year after he was elected that he then, won and became our governor then for a couple terms before we finally got rid of him. And the district attorneys who knew this was illegal, and John Chisholm there in Milwaukee County was one of the leaders. There was the district attorney from Madison, and there were a couple Republican district attorneys involved in that as well in other parts of the state. And it went all the way to the Wisconsin Supreme Court until the right-wing Wisconsin Supreme Court wiped out the law that Scott Walker and those Republicans and those right-wing organizations was violating. They said it's no longer unconstitutional for these secret campaigns to fund elections and these corrupt people can do anything they want. That was what your Wisconsin Supreme Court
the overall picture of all of this on a national level has not been good for democracy. I just think that, you know, one man, one vote, and what all of that meant and what all of that stood for has kind of destroyed, you know, elections.
And it's intentional.
Yeah.
Exactly. We sometimes have little minor disagreements on politics, but we both know what's happening.
Right. No. and you know, Joe, the worst part about it is so many people who love this nation and what it stands for and they don't know what has happened to it.
I think they really do. I think most good people in this country today know that. Here's the problem with the election, let's say, coming up this November. Off-year elections traditionally attract far fewer voters than presidential elections. We know that. And in fact, everyone knows, and they know to such an extent that Republicans right now are actually sure that in November they're going to win the House of Representatives.
And they believe they're going to take the Senate, too.
Well, they believe that's possible, right. Yes. And it is possible. I think, but here's the unfortunate part. Most political people looking at politics aren't so sure about the Senate. They do think that the Democrats can win the Senate, but it's not going to be easy. And I've got a big argument that in fact is a very good chance that we can hold on to the Senate, and we really need to hold on to the Senate. That's clear. Democrats need to hold on to the Senate, because if they don't, you know, they've seen who runs the Senate.
Right.
If they don't win the Senate, the Supreme Court will be destroyed. I mean, it is destroyed already. It was destroyed when Mitch McConnell wouldn't even hold a hearing.
Merrick Garland.
On Merrick Garland, his nominee to the Supreme Court, for a year. He held the Supreme Court only had 8 members for a year after Scalia died, because Mitch McConnell refused to hold a hearing.
Hey, Joe, we've got to go to a break.
Nominee.
Joe, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. My guest is Joe McNally. We'll be right back. At 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is none other than the award-winning journalist, Joe McNally. You know, Joe, you heard that voice of a guy who's doing the show before me. Does it sound familiar? Matt Flynn.
Matt Flynn, yep.
Yeah, so it's great to have Matt on. But before...
Since we keep going through these memory lanes about Wisconsin's political history, I'll just tell you one quick story that I always associate with Matt Flynn. I covered his very first race in politics. He was running against Jim Sensenbrenner, the congressman, right-wing congressman from suburban North Shore, Milwaukee, and he was a young lawyer, and he has always remembered a line that I wrote in a campaign story about this young guy coming up. I used to get together with him on talk shows.
I remember
both,
that.
Both, TV talk shows. I mean, I think we both have done several of those together, including with Mark Bella. And you know, it's always good to have a comrade on those shows. but like I say, he's always remembered that in the first campaign story I ever wrote about him, I said that he looked like a shirt ad.
He looked like a what?
A shirt ad.
He
was a good-looking young attorney taking on Jim Sensenbrenner.
A great dresser. A great dresser. You know.
And for a while, every time I would run into him anywhere, for decades, he would mention that line. so next time you see him, you know, ask how many Arrow these days.
I certainly will, Joe. You know, I want to talk a little bit about where we are. You and I, you know, even doing some of the bad times in our nation, things weren't anywhere near what they are now. And so I wanted to talk with you about this Republican Party, because you have always been the guy who never, and as many times as I said how bad the Republicans were, you always, you know, you always said, well, no, they're not. And, you know, you were that cockeyed optimist, and you would always say, and talk about the good sides of Republicans, and you knew a lot of good Republicans. What happened?
All the good ones I knew fled. they really did. No question about that. In fact, you know, there's a good example one in the news just this morning that Tommy Thompson says, you know, he's not gonna run, you know, for they want him to run for the
governor. He's a good guy.
Well, you know what? You know, back when you and I first started arguing about this, I don't think you would have said that.
No.
These days, everyone can say that out loud, but I don't think he would have back then because, he was not a progressive governor at all. But like many people in the Republican Party those days, he in fact was a decent person. In fact, while he was a Catholic and he was against abortion, he was not in favor of not allowing anyone to have an abortion. He understood, and as a matter of fact, he had a couple daughters, and he had a very progressive wife who also, I believe, had something to do with that. In fact, one of his daughters was head of the public defender's office in Wisconsin for a long time. She was a very progressive figure and a very decent person, as was his wife.
Well, you know, Joe, he didn't isolate Milwaukee. He actually would come to Milwaukee, and he did some positive things to help the black community.
He cared about the state.
The entire state.
Yes. And when ignorant Republicans were trying to wipe out stem cell research at the University of Wisconsin, where it was practically invented, because in fact right-wing anti-abortion Republicans didn't like stem cell research because it basically was going to cure all and still has the potential to cure all kinds of diseases by going back to genetic manipulation, basically. But if you can wipe out the gene in medicine that causes cancer, or the corruption of the genes that cause cancer, you can wipe out cancer.
Right.
And that's what genetic research is all about. But right-wing Republicans don't like it because they say it's like interfering with. One of the things they used to use in research was the fetus.
Right.
And the only place they could get those would be after an abortion had taken place. Now they created different ways to do it now, so they don't even have to do that. Because medicine is always improving, and they got away from even needing to have anything to do with abortion. But right-wing Republicans wanted to destroy it. This is something that can cure cancer, but because of your religion, you're saying, I don't believe in genetic manipulation. In fact, you shouldn't be allowed to do something which is going to cause someone to be born without genetic damage.
And that is a
strange idea. If you claim to be pro-life, wouldn't you like to be able to deal with genetic problems like Down syndrome and make it impossible for that to happen? Yes, you would. I mean, that's just...
But Joel, the fact that your religion, your individual religion, should supersede what's beneficial to everybody.
That is an absolute fact. And that is in fact the big problem with what the Supreme Court is probably about to do when they basically are either going to totally overrule the Roe versus Wade or basically say we're gonna wipe out most of it. And eventually we'll wipe out all of it. They're going to do one or the other probably in June. They're going to come down with a terrible decision because there's now a terrible majority on the Trump court, which wants to wipe out abortion. Oh, what I have told every anti-abortion Catholic fundamentalist, whatever, is if you're against abortion, you shouldn't have one. And I totally respect you for following your religion. But here's what you can't do in the United States of America and haven't legally been able to do for 50 years. You cannot impose your religion on everybody else who doesn't believe it. On people who believe in other religions, on Muslims, any other religion in the world.
Hindus
Exactly. Exactly. But I definitely respect you for following your religious beliefs. What the Supreme Court is about to do is it'd be like Muslims imposing Sharia law.
Hey Joel, hang on 1 second. Who do we have on the line, Sam?
CJ from Stoughton's calling in.
All right, CJ, what's going on, man? What do you say?
Well, actually, Matt, I was calling to talk to Sam, but that's okay.
Well, this is Earl, not Matt. CJ. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Earl, not Matt. Did you have a question?
I'm sorry, Earl. Yes, I was trying to listen to you on live stream, and I wasn't able to get you, so I was calling Sam to find out why.
That's okay. She'll take care of that. Thank you very much for the call.
Get our friends hooked up.
you know, Joe, this has always just irritated me to no end. This nation is, we talk about open to all people from all over the world, and that we are tolerant. And we are different. We are a melting pot. And then you turn around and people say, no, we're Christians. We're the majority. And everybody else is going to have to go by what we say, which is against everything that they claim the nation is about. You know, you can't talk about the Constitution. You can't talk about the Bill of Rights. You if you're not going to be a nation that lives up to those things, right?
Exactly. And in fact, wiping out abortion is wiping out freedom of religion.
Right.
Because you're saying, no, you have to follow our religion and our religious beliefs. You can't have another religion. You can't have no religion. You know, well, as a matter of fact, in the Constitution of the United States, that is the whole point of the Second Amendment. Not the Second Amendment, that's the gun one. That's the other way they end life. But that's the whole point of the First Amendment, which is where freedom of religion resides. I cannot for the life of me understand how they cannot realize that. They simply do not. Well, it's true that many of them simply don't understand the Constitution, don't understand democracy. They don't. If you understood democracy, you could not destroy the right to vote. It doesn't make sense. Our country is based on a democratic ideal. We've never reached it. But in fact, the people who wrote it didn't even know how good it was, because when they said, we do believe, and they wrote it, Thomas Jefferson, who lived here in my town, Charlottesville, Virginia, what has been identified by some people as the greatest sentence ever written in English, all men are created equal, endowed by their creator by inalienable rights, including life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
So, Joel, hang on a second.
We believe in democracy, and you can't do these things.
Joel, we've got to go to a break. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. War-winning Joe McNally is on the line. You know, Joe, the fact that we are seeing so many of the rights of the American people being eroded, and they're being eroded by the people who claim to be the biggest patriots. If you didn't know any better and you hadn't been around a while, you would think that what Republicans are talking about now is always for the best interests of the American people, all of us. But if you've been around as long as you and I have, then you know that this is not a good thing for our nation in the direction that it's headed with the Republicans of today.
Well, I'm not even sure you're right about that they are trying to convince anybody that anymore. I think they've decided that they can find enough ugly voters to agree with them. I don't know very many educated, sentient people who think that everyone doesn't have a right to vote. But they certainly do. And not only that, when the vote goes against them, they're even passing laws that they don't have to pay any attention to.
Yeah, but Joel, they want to hand-pick who they don't want to vote.
They do hand-pick it.
Right.
And they've continued to do that. I'll tell you when you know how it started. You know, I keep doing this, and I'm probably going to always do it to say, where did this start? And I'll tell you where it started. It started when we all, the media and the rest of us, stopped calling them out for lying about things. And the lie that I'm speaking about that relates directly to whether you have a right to vote or not is when we Republicans first started saying, you know what, elections are being stolen. There's election and we know Donald Trump talked a lot about the election that went against him being stolen. But he's the first one who, when the election was over and he had clearly lost, he continued to say it was stolen. And the reason he could say that was that for not just years, but for decades, we had allowed Republicans to lie about election fraud. And here's when they figured out how to do it. When they first brought it up, they said, you know what? You know, we let people register to vote, and then they can vote, you know, from then on. And we don't know, you know, what's happening. You know, they could be voting for dead people. They could be voting, you know, and in fact, they would make jokes
well,
about it.
Well, they said in
Chicago, lots of dead people vote in Chicago. How long have we heard that? But the truth was, long ago in our history, there was a lot of election corruption. We know that. There were election corruption was famous in big cities, and Edgar Allan Poe, a famous writer, was also an alcoholic, and the way he died, it was said, was that it was during an election fraud thing when whoever wanted to win the election was rounding up people, getting them all drunk, and paying them to go vote for their candidate. And that used to happen in this country. But you know what happened? We passed laws against it. We passed laws against this that could send people to prison if they voted fraudulently. So suddenly, Republicans wanted to figure out what to do to make it less likely that the people who would vote against them could be allowed to vote. And so they said, we have to pass a voter ID law that will let you, you know, you have to show a picture ID in order to vote. They kept saying, look, you gotta have a ID in order to sign to cash a check, or you gotta have a picture ID in order to do this or do that. But we let just anybody who was registered to vote, and without showing a picture ID to prove that that's who they are. So we're gonna pass voter ID laws. So then, okay, they legislatures all over this country started passing voter ID laws. You had to show a picture ID. So the question was, what would count as a picture ID? Driver's license, right? In those days, that was pretty much the only thing you had as a picture ID. We know there are lots of people who don't have driver's licenses.
That's correct.
So they would make a list of things that you could use as a proof that you were who you were said you were.
A Wisconsin state ID, which was not the easiest thing in the world to get.
Yeah, you got them at DMV offices, right? just like driver's licenses. Yeah, and everyone makes jokes about what a horror the DMV is, right?
Yes.
You hate to have to. You know, every decade or so, there's something you have to get from the DMV.
And spend a whole half a morning. Spend a whole morning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But they got even more corrupt than that, because in Wisconsin, when they first passed the voter ID law, one of the things that you couldn't use for an ID was a student ID. So anyone going to college who had a student ID probably didn't have a lot of college students don't have driver's licenses if they don't need them. They would not allow the students to use a student ID. Or if they did, they said, well, if you have a student ID with your picture on it, are you still going to college? Well, what difference does that make? If it's a student ID that shows, you know, that's who you are, the truth of the matter is less than 1% of voters have ever tried to vote fraudulently by claiming they were somebody.
Hey, Joel, hang on. We've got to go to a break.
Happen.
Joel, we got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.